All right, well, good evening. I'm excited to be here. You might notice as my hands are shaking, that is pure excitement, nothing else. For those that don't know me, my name is CJ, and I'm the youth director here at Cornerstone. My beautiful wife, Bethany, and I moved here back in June, and since then, we have just felt at home. You guys have really just brought us in and welcomed us and made it such a great experience being able to serve here with you. And so if you've spent any time with us over the last month, you know that we've been observing Advent, and that each week we've been observing a certain word and kind of focusing on that. And it's been really cool because we've had our church family come up here and share with us about how each of these words, hope, peace, and joy, actually means something very real to them, and how each of these words have kind of reminded them of who Christ is and what he has accomplished, and how these words have become tangible things in their lives. And so what I hope to do in the next few minutes that we have here tonight is to remind us that the words we are focusing on during Advent, they're not just Christmas decorations, right? They're not just nice things that we hang around our homes, on our front doors, that we write in cards, that we find little Pinterest crafts for, and then we post pictures of those on Instagram and try to get a lot of likes. Like, that's not only what these words are about, but there's actually a much deeper, much more significant meaning to the words of Advent. And that is that they are characteristics of Jesus Christ. They are descriptives of Jesus Christ and who he is. The other thing I want to do is to encourage us that the birth of Jesus was not actually the only time that God dwelt among his people, and that in his presence we experience the fullness of hope, love, peace, and joy. And then finally, I'd like to challenge us to be the lights in the darkness, intentionally seeking out those who are still lost, the ones that have yet to hear about the baby who was born in Bethlehem. And so with that, let me pray, and we'll get going. I'm going to cover a lot of scripture at first, so don't feel like you have to keep up, okay? I just wanted to give that disclaimer. Father, tonight I pray that you would guard our minds against distractions, that as we are here tonight, we would actually be here, that we would be dwelling on who you are, what you've accomplished, what you've done for us, and that the anxieties that may be coming with tomorrow as we go into Christmas Day would just be held at bay for just a few moments as we gather here as a church family. In your name, amen. All right, so we covered a few words for Advent, the first of which was hope. And so there is hope when God is with us. In Judges 6, we see that Gideon has hope to save Israel because God is with him. And in Exodus 3, we see that Moses has hope in confronting Pharaoh because God is with him. Now, God came to each of these men, and he gave them a task. And he said, I have this for you to do. But both of these men responded in fear and doubt. They said, I'm not the man for this job. I can't do this. I'm not qualified. And what did God do? He gave them a pep talk, right? He said, no. Like, no, you're the perfect person for this job. That's why I picked you. You just got to believe in yourself, right? You just got to do this. You can do this. You're qualified. No, that's not what God did, right? God reminded them who he was and that he would be with them where he sends them. God reminds his people that there is hope in his presence. So there is hope when God is with us. And then we talked about love, that there is love when God is with us. 1 John 4:7-8 says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. And so what I want us to draw from this is that where people truly commune with God, love will be found. And oftentimes, I think our culture and our language reduces love to something lesser than it should be, right? And I've heard it described as a junk drawer word. Does everyone have a junk drawer? Right? Like, it's usually in the kitchen, and it's usually full of, like, batteries and rubber bands and pens, like, old hot sauce packets, right? Just, like random stuff that you don't use, but everything just kind of goes into that drawer. no matter what it is. And I think that in a lot of ways, we use the word love that same way, right? Like, I love French fries. I love French fries. But I also love my wife. And those two things are not the same. I love my truck, but I also love God. And those two things are definitely not the same, right? And I think that if we want to know what love truly is, we need to get back to the originator of love, which is God. And one of the best reminders is that in love, Jesus left heaven, everything that was rightfully his, and he came to earth as a baby in a very humble form, and he dwelt among people in love. And so there is love when God is with us. Then we talked about peace. There's peace when God is with us. 2 Thessalonians 3:16 says, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all." Jesus said himself in John 16:33, "I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." And then I love this. So in Mark 4, we see Jesus calm the storm and bring peace to his disciples. You see, the disciples and Jesus were out on the water in a boat, and there was a storm that was raging so violently that the disciples thought they were going to die. And some of these guys were seasoned fishermen, and they thought they were going to die. And so they go rushing to Jesus. They try to tell him, "Jesus, there's a storm. We're scared." And Jesus simply wakes up from sleeping, and at the sound of his voice brings peace to that storm. And what I love about it is that Jesus taught about peace and the peace that comes from him in words, but he also lived out what he was teaching them. By his actions, he showed that there is peace when God is with us. Then we talked about joy. There is joy when God is with us. And the psalmist says it this way in Psalm 16:11, "You make known to me the path of life, and in your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." And Jesus says in John 15:11, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." And what's beautiful for Christians about the joy that comes from Christ is that it's not circumstantial. You see, our joy is not based on whether our lives are beautiful or our lives are tragic, whether we're temporarily happy or temporarily upset. Our joy is based on Jesus himself, which is completely unchanging. Our joy is unshakable because Jesus is unshakable. So there is joy when God is with us. Those are the words that we've been covering for Advent, and they've all been leading up to tomorrow. And so I'd like us to read Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. I think it'll be up on the screen, so you don't have to necessarily turn there, but you can if you want to. I'm going to go ahead and read this whole story for us. "At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee, and he took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no lodging available for them. And that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. And suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were terrified. But the angel reassured them, 'Don't be afraid,' he said. 'I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger.' And suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased.' When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, 'Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. And after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. And so this is what we have been leading up to. The birth of our Savior, the birth of the Messiah. And with the story that we just read, is that the hope, the love, the peace, and the joy of the world were actually born into humanity. And for the non-Christian, these can be really abstract ideas that are hard to define and oftentimes left up to maybe personal or individual interpretation. But for the Christian, these things are actually a person whom we can know and have a relationship with and whose spirit now dwells on the inside of us as the people of God. These words were embodied when Jesus came to earth, was born of a virgin, and walked among his people. He became Emmanuel, or God with us. And after his death and resurrection, he ascended back to heaven. We see this in Luke chapter 24. And so we might ask the question, well, how is God with us now? Right? Because sure, Jesus was with us when he was here, but we just said that he ascended back to heaven. And I don't see Jesus walking around today. I don't see a tabernacle being set up and moved around all over the place. I don't see a big fancy temple with a curtain with a holy of holies and the Spirit of God living inside of it. So how is God still with us today? Well, also in Luke chapter 24, Jesus talks about the coming of the Holy Spirit. He promises that when he leaves, he's going to send back his Holy Spirit, which is the third member of the Trinity. And he promises that it'll be better for us to have the Holy Spirit than to have him here with us. And now through the power of the Holy Spirit, the God who is the originator and the definition of these words that we've been talking about actually dwells on the inside of each and every one of his people. Challenge for tonight. If this is all true, how much more should we, the people of God, be a light in the darkness of our world? And shouldn't we be the ones who are the examples of hope, love, peace, and joy that is only found in Christ? And since we are the ones who were once enemies of God, but have now been invited to sit at his table, or for some to sit around his campfire, how much more should we be eagerly seeking out the ones that are still lost in the darkness? There's still people out there that have not heard about the little baby born in Bethlehem. And so there's two things that I want us to take away as we leave tonight. And that is, I want us to have our hearts overflowing with joy with what has been done for us. God left heaven, became a man, dwelt among people, and he lived a perfect life, and then he was crucified. He was raised again after 3 days. And he ascended back to heaven. That should well up joy in us, something that we are excited to celebrate tomorrow. But the other side of that is that our hearts should also have an ache to them, that there are people who have not known this and have not experienced the riches and the blessings and the salvation that comes from God. Let me pray for us. Father, we are a people that are thankful for all that you have accomplished, for all that you have done, and for who you are. And God, I pray that as a church body, as a family, that you would make us the very best representations of these words that we've been covering. I pray that we would not forget what has been done for us, that we would be grateful, and that we would also be celebrating tomorrow, not living in the anxiety that the holiday brings. And in your name, amen.